Recording in progress.
Change.
Change. Change.
We need to change things up.
It's a show about change. Welcome to Bob's Basement. Here's your host, Bob Ouellette.
And joining me virtually in my basement is I would dare say a friend of mine, an old friend of mine. We've worked together twice now. Her name is Kat Callahan. Kat, thanks so much for coming into the basement virtually.
Thank you for having me, Bob. I'm so excited to be a part of this.
Oh my gosh. I think, you know, I'm in the late 60s of episodes here, and I've balanced between having, you know, rock stars that I've wanted to talk to, some actors, and a lot of old radio friends. So really nice. It's a good excuse to catch up with people. And we first crossed paths at Evanov Radio Group, correct? Was that the first time we worked together, right? And we work together now. We're both at Chorus Entertainment.
That's right. Yes, indeed. Who would have thunk it, huh?
Well, it is a small business. Never say anything bad about anybody unless you want them to hear about it, right?
It's true.
It really is. Like, I mean, it's crazy how if you haven't worked with somebody, you probably will at some point.
Yep.
So I'm talking to you. You're in the Greater Kitchener, Cambridge, Waterloo area. Is that where you are?
Correct. Yes, the region of Waterloo.
The region of Waterloo, right?
The region of Waterloo.
And we met when you were doing the morning show. I think at Z103.5, and I was running Proud FM, right?
That's correct. Yes.
So I want to preface all of this by saying I wanted to have you on this. You've been on my list of people to have on my podcast before your big announcement of a few weeks ago.
Sure.
I know you're gonna.
I believe you.
And you know, because this is a show about change, that big announcement, of course, was that you are the kind of the AI voice of TikTok.
Yeah, I mean, one of the options. I will say, if you hate it, there's other options. It's a gig that I've had for a little while and kind of kept to myself, even though, you know, when you're in radio, your voice is kind of around and people kind of catch little bits and pieces every now and again and go, hey, wait a minute. It's kind of been a part of what I've been doing for the last little while.
Right, because often when you do radio, you do voice work, and sometimes you end up on a cartoon. I know lots of people who've done, like, been on Paw Patrol and a bunch of different other cartoons, but you also end up doing commercials and voiceovers for TV and whatnot. But in this case, I have so many questions about the process of it. Like, do you just say random words into a microphone all the time?
I have to keep a lot of it a mystery.
Of course, yes.
And obviously, I am the voice, so yes. I don't even want to try to explain text-to-speech technology for anyone.
No, fair enough.
I don't have the credentials to do that. But I will say, I mean, it's come so. Speaking of change, I mean, it's come so far. And the technology is really, like, advancing by the day, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because you learn so much about it. If you look these things up, I mean, and feel free to if you're curious about how it
sure.
works. But I would say to do that. But at the same time, it does change. Like, and sometimes it takes less and less as you go. Other times they've added new things
right.
to it. And every platform kind of uses, although similar technology, it seems like a little bit different ways of doing it, like
right.
between Instagram or TikTok or any other number of platforms that use it.
I do appreciate that you're saying I can't explain AI and like
yeah,
you know,
I'm not the right person to do that.
We are radio people. That is not, you know, we're not. Yeah, we're not in it. We're not in it because of our brains. No, that's not true. You're very smart. You're a very smart broadcaster. Before we could talk about that all like for the entire episode, obviously. But I do want to go back. I was just like, you know, looking back at kind of your career and how it started, and you're back where you kind of grew up, right? Like you're from that area, mm-hmm. but you did do a big morning show in Toronto and end up back there with your partner who you worked with in Toronto. So I want to talk about, you know, you went to, you're one of these, I know a lot of people went to Conestoga. You went there. Did you get, now was radio in, like, you're a bit younger than me. Did you listen to radio growing up? Did you have a favorite radio station? Like, were there people you loved?
Yeah, I mean, yes, I did. I did listen to radio a lot. It was a part of my life. Even, and I won't even say that's how I knew is when I was listening to radio, you know, when I was young.
Sure.
No, but I am I'm part of a very musical family.
Okay.
I am not talented in that area. My dad has a band. My brother has a band. So we constantly had music on in our house growing up. And so with that, radio, of course, was just like naturally one of those things on our oversized now stereo in our living room that we just had on all the time. So, you know, I suppose as you and I reflect on this in this moment, I realized that that probably had a lot to do with, you know, how I ended up appreciating radio. And when it came time for me to pick, you know, those moments in high school where it was like, select what you're going to do for a living. I was one of those people who were like, I had anxiety about that. Like, what do I do? But I also was a talker and I talked a lot and I got in trouble for talking a lot. And it was one of my teachers, actually, because you hear the opposite stories all the time of teachers being like, you can't do it. You can't do this. One of my teachers, Mr. Fergus.
Mr. Fergus.
Not retired, but Mr. Fergus was like, you know, you got to do something about you and your talking. And stuff. Why don't you try to like make money off of that.
Wow.
And yeah, so one of the ways he suggested was a teacher, and I was like, I don't think I'm cut out for that. And the other was like, why don't you do, you know, why don't you be on television or radio or something? Like, I could see you doing that. So I ended up doing a co-op at Rogers Television in grade 12, and then that's really where I got the bug and I realized, holy moly, this industry of broadcasting is something that I want to be a part of.
Before that, I want to ask, like, what did you want to be when you were a kid? Did you even know?
An actress.
You wanted to be an actress. Okay. So so the performance is always there. There's always something there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was dramatic. I is sometimes. Still
a little dramatic.
But yeah. I mean, I think for a long time as a kid, I always wanted to be an actress.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. I you might be the first person that I've spoken to who actually had a teacher push them into it, mm-hmm. like in a good way, and it, like saying, you should really do this. That's really great. That's a great, and you embraced it. Like, and that, thank God that that co-op was a positive experience, right? Like, yeah, imagine if it wasn't, and who knows what could have happened. Yeah. You got out of college. Did you have a placement in there? How what was that? What was your first paid gig?
My very first paid, well, actually it was at the place I now reside. My very first job in radio was at 91.5 The Beat in Kitchener. I was a promotions assistant.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Who was the PD at the time?
David Jones.
Okay. All right.
A really great PD. And he, so they hired me on in promotions and I did that. It was part-time because I was still in college. This was during my tail end of my first year, I think I got the gig. So I would do a lot of events and it was Cat and the Beat Street Team and I was the team.
Oh.
It was only me.
You are the team and the team. You have it all.
I built these massive tents and it wasn't an easy tent to put up. It was like extremely heavy. I drove around a Hummer H2.
Wow.
Events and stuff. Yeah. And I got to, my favorite part was getting to hang out with the announcers at these remotes.
Yeah.
When you do these remotes, you get to see the actual action. And so eventually I convinced, I guess, David to allow me to do some of these cut-ins myself when they didn't have an announcer. And so that's kind of where it started, that on-air portion, I suppose, is where it started. And other than that, I would just like stalk all of the announcers, basically. So if I wasn't working, I was still there kind of shadowing them in a way, like watching what they did. And I just was drawn to the studio.
Do you have a moment? I remember, like, do you have a moment you remember hearing yourself on the radio or something you did, or like where you're in the car and your parents are there and you're like, that's me, I did that. Yeah. Do you have one of those moments?
Absolutely.
What is
it? Yeah. And they were cool enough to let me be on some commercials sometimes. Yep. So that's what it was. It was like a commercial for something. And I was like, guys, listen, that's me. Like, you must listen to this, you know, 30-second commercial about windows and doors just so you can hear me. Listen. So, yeah, I do. I remember those moments. But, of course, you know, with your parents or something, they're like, okay, so you're doing something with this education. This is actually happening. So I think it's like part proud, part like, thank God.
Thank God, yes. You're not just hanging out with these weird old radio dudes.
Exactly.
Were you there when Scott Turner was the PD at all? Or
I was. So what happened was I was there previous to Scott Turner. So Chorus purchased 91.5 The Beat while I was there.
Okay. I see. Okay. Because I almost worked there when I almost worked at Dave. FM at one point. Right before I worked for Evanov, well, for Proud FM, I almost worked with Jeff Lumbey, was doing the morning show.
Yeah, Jeff Lumbey's great. I worked with him at Cool.
Okay, so yeah, it was Jeff Lumbey, and then I think Curtis Bray was there. He ended up leaving, and anyways, I almost worked there, but I ended up taking the Proud FM job instead. So it's just so funny. It's such a small world, and I've almost worked. Yeah, so now you find yourself So you go from at your promo, you know, in the industry, unfortunately, we say for years it was like, you're a promo girl, which was it's a term that we shouldn't use. Yep. It doesn't get used anymore, but it would have then. You're the promo girl. You're doing promotions. And then how do you end up in Toronto?
This is like, you know what? I don't even know how it ended up happening, but I actually left 91.5 The Beat as a promotions assistant, and I also dropped out of college at the same time.
I didn't finish. I never even went, actually. I taught college, but I never went.
Isn't that, I mean, in radio, it's like, I know friends of mine who are college, you know, teachers in this area. Don't, you know, I'm sorry to say it, but it really is about the experience when it comes to this. And that's truly what it's about. You can absolutely learn the backstory. You can learn the, you know, history of radio or whatever other things, but really that experience matters for, you know, in a lot of industries. I think it's similar. But for me, Sandra Hennin was my boss at a woman named Sandra Hennin was my boss at 91.5 The Beat. She ran promotions. And when the Chorus takeover happened, a lot of people were let go. Yep. It happened. And she got hired at the Junos. So fun fact, I actually worked for the Juno Awards in their marketing department for, I think, 9 months is how long I lasted doing that before I did realize, like, yeah, radio is definitely for me. So I somehow ended up back in Kitchener. Brian Burke hired me at 105.3 Cool FM, and I did news, which is, I mean, I was like, cool, I'll do anything. Like, I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Had you ever, so were you writing your own news?
Yeah.
And
I was.
And so what was that learning curve like? Because you'd never written news before at that point. Oh, you were in your early 20s, probably.
I mean, I didn't know half the stuff. I didn't know half of what I was talking about. Like, I remember saying, and to boot, I also was on K-Fun, which, at the time was Oldies.
Oldies, yes.
Before it was K-Fun. So I was on Oldies doing the news. So it was skewed to a slightly different audience. So at times I would literally shut off my mic and be like, "What'd I just say?" Like,
that, and well, in AM, like, they had 22-year-old. Yeah, well, and they want, like, a old school AM stations want a more robust newscast. Mm-hmm. So you're writing. Was anybody guiding you along there? You kind of, like most radio, you're kind of like on your own, or did you have somebody help you along?
Absolutely. And I mean, I credit Brian Burke, who did hire me, like I said, after I was kind of all over the place in radio, out of radio, hired me and gave me that shot. And he also was, I mean, I don't want to say he was tough, but he gave me what I needed at that time, which was some hard truth of like, no, you got to cut this out. He really taught me. I credit him even to this day with the way that I will handle some breaks. There are things that you don't need to say. Take them out.
Yeah.
You know, so with that editing process of news, I ended up kind of taking that and putting it toward my announcer style as well.
Yeah, I kind of want to. I want to talk about how we're going through your resume here. I want to talk about because you've done morning radio for how many years now? Have you been a morning show co-host?
10 years.
Yeah.
Now.
So
it was 2012. Yeah, that I first went to Z103.5.
Yeah. So. The industry obviously has changed so much in those 10 years. Obviously, our competition has changed so much in those 10 years. You know, so what people's expectations of what we do have changed. But I think it changes by market as well. It changes by who your boss is, as you know, and what they expect of you. We still haven't established how you ended up in Toronto. I just want to, how do you end up at Chum? Were you doing Swing at Chum?
Long.
No, it's okay.
Yes. So what happened was, because I was at 105.3 Cool FM, it was a Chum station, later became Bell Media.
Right. Time, it was okay. Chum. Okay. So they knew you.
Yes. So they knew me. So David Corey, a fantastic PD over at Chum, who I actually just talked to the other day with all of this stuff happening.
Oh, I bet. Sure.
Anyway, whatever. There's so many stories I could get to, but I'll try to focus. So he had heard some of my stuff, and he offered me to do Swing. So I did Swing at Chum FM in Toronto, and it overlapped my job at 105.3. So I was working sometimes 7 days a week.
Yeah.
I would go into Toronto on the weekends, and I would do a weekend shift, or every now and again, it might be an evening shift. So I would do both at the same time. And I guess that it in part helped lead me to Z1035. Scott was fired from Z is the short story there.
Yeah.
He was fired and they rehired him.
Yeah.
Less than a year later, I think it was. And when they did, they said, you can pick your team. And at that point, he was familiar with me because he had done some work at Chime FM in Kitchener. And long story short, I will shorten it up.
No. Yeah, it's good.
He said, come, would you be interested? And yeah,
of course.
Obviously. So I went there and I remember the first day I went and I walked around. I wasn't really told like you have the job kind of thing, but it was more like a let's chat. And I met the PD, Paul Evanov. Of course, you know, Bill, who was great. I remember meeting him that first day too and being like super intimidated by
sure.
him. He's like, he's a nice guy, but of course it's the Evanov family, right? So all of them, I was like, oh my goodness. And then, yeah, that, and then they were like, come on, join us. And that was it.
Was it lost on you the importance of like where Chum FM is and kind of the like, did you know how big of a station Chum FM was while you were there, like coming from Waterloo? Did you get how big it was?
I did.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. And I remember.
Were you nervous?
Yeah, I was nervous, but I also had people who believed in me. So I think that helped.
Yeah.
And I tried to take in as much as I could while I was there. I remember just talking to all of the announcers, anybody who I could, you know, speak with, and got some great advice while I was there and had some really great mentorship along the way. So yeah I did.
That's well, you are one of those people. I literally can't find somebody to say something bad about you. I've asked around. I really want no. Anybody have anything bad to say about Kat Callahan? No, you really are one of the you are one of the good ones, as they say. And so you've been 10 years doing mornings with Scott at two different stations. Had you, now when you started doing mornings at Z103, were you doing news as well, or you just come in as a co-host? What was the format?
No, yeah, by then I was doing afternoon, so I was the format was an announcer. By then, I was done doing news.
Right.
Cool. When I joined Z, so yeah, it was co-host, and it was very clear, and I appreciated it because it was important to me. You know, you mentioned things about like promo girl. It was important to me that I would never come on board to a place to be a giggle girl.
Right.
I'm not there to be like, you're so funny, male. You're so funny, haha.
Right.
Tell me more stories and I'll just react to you, and that's all I'm here for, and that's all I'm good for. You know, that was important to me. And Scott Fox was one of those people whom that was important to as well. You know, he said, this is going to be a partnership. This is going to be you and I. And I mean, obviously, here we are 10 years later and a different station going as a team, which I mean, goes to show you that that kind of thing can go a long way. He always kind of believed in me.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, obviously, the defined roles definitely helps. As a program director now, working with a team that you know is new together, it's very I find it very important to make sure that not only the audience knows who is who, but you each know each other who is who and what you bring to the table, right? At Z103, look, everybody I've spoken to at Evanov Radio Group, who spent almost 9 years there. Part of it as, you know, just as Proud FM, and then a good part of it bigger, working alongside the family and everybody there on the Jewel stations and the other stuff. It is a unique place to work, to say the least. It is unlike any other place I've ever worked.
Yeah.
But I will say this on the positive, there's lots of positive about it. You're allowed to do things there that you don't get encouraged to do other places for various reasons. So there you are, your first morning show co-host gig on the reg. What kind of structure were you given? What was it? Did you guys just given a clock and like how did you guys figure out what the show what Scott and Kat was going to be?
Yeah, I think, I mean, at the beginning, definitely took a lot. I took Scott's lead a lot with it because he knew morning radio.
Right.
He'd been on morning radio for many, many years.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a learning curve for me working with someone as well. I had co-hosts previously in the afternoon, but it was not the same. I mean, a lot of people, I think, realize it's not the same. Usually morning radio is afternoon. Sometimes you do get that kind of similar effect. But yeah, so at the beginning, it was more sorting that out, and that happens, and that takes time, and you're getting used to your own position. You're getting used to listeners in listening to you from that position too,
right?
I mean, you're going to get all kinds of feedback, and the way the world works now, you don't just crack a mic and then you're like, okay, hopefully people like it, let's find out in the ratings. You're seeing tweets, you're seeing comments, you're hearing from listeners, you're seeing text messages come in. So it was very like in the moment trying to figure that out, although we didn't have a lot of those immediately when I started there. But I remember, you know, hearing things. And once I started to gain a little more confidence in doing it, that's when we really found ourselves and we got along well off air. And that does matter, I think, because I've heard some horror stories.
Yeah.
And I continue to hear horror stories from the way that people interact with each other when the mics are off. And it shocks me. I'm like, I couldn't work with someone who I couldn't stand. Like, I don't, but people do it. People do it all the time. With Scott, it was just like a natural friendship right away. He and I are different in a lot of different ways. And it's so funny because our lives have kind of flipped around. At the time, he had younger kids, you know, and he was busy family man. And I was just like, la, la, la. You know, I had a boyfriend and that was it. And I was just like, I'm free. And now it's like the opposite. We always joke with one another because his kids are grown. And I have two little kids. So it's like, it's funny the way that our lives have kind of shifted. But that relationship that we had anyway was built on that respect and that initial comment of, you're not my, you know, giggle person. You are my co-host. You can come with ideas. And I thought, okay. So I started to come with ideas. I started talking about myself and again, gaining that confidence along the way.
Did you find, like, let me ask about the formatics of the show. Is Scott always the quarterback? Is he always the guy coming off the songs?
Not always, no.
We do. You mix that up now? Because that's an old school. The old school way is one person, usually the guy, comes off, does, you know, 91.5, blah, 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 does the whole thing. And then maybe you could bring us, you know, you would start a story if it was a, you know, an entertainment bit or whatever. But did you guys actually bounce things back and forth? Because you're a jock at heart. You jocked before. So it's not like it's foreign to you, right?
No. Exactly. And there are times where it makes sense for one of us to do it over the other person. But we are also not that morning team that really discusses it in advance. So sometimes it'll just take a glance.
Well, you sound like a program director's dream. We don't discuss things in advance.
We don't. I know. Listen, we do, but I don't mean like every break. It's not like you're going to talk and then I'm going to say this. And then we're going to go over the list of things that are happening this weekend. You talk about the job fair and then I'll do this. Like, we don't do that. Like, it's more of a, but I think that's what makes us real is that sometimes, like this morning, even something just happened, like right before we cracked the mic. And I was like, what just happened? You know, like those things are important because we have that relationship though, of I can say things off the cuff out of nowhere. He just follows it along.
He can go with it.
It's a very casual on-air thing that we have going on. So we're not very formal in that way of like, I have something to say, so I'm going to talk first. It's just kind of one of those things. And we know each other's signals.
Yeah.
I can tell, wait a minute, he's going to say something off of this song. And maybe it's about the artist. Maybe it's something that just happened and vice versa. So it is very casual, the relationship that we have on air. And I think that translates really well for listeners. It's very organic. I like to think of our show as like just really organic in the moment. Aside from the features that we have on the half hour and this and the things that are kind of there that have always been there, we like to kind of just let what will be, you know?
How do you think what the audience expects or wants has changed in the last 10 years? How's your content changed?
Yeah, I do find it to be, I don't know, more real. Like, we're definitely not, you know, sugarcoating things.
Yeah, oh, good.
I feel like maybe that's changed a little bit. And maybe it's the world that we live in now where there is so much room for public opinion. But I guess just, you know, being able to voice our opinions is one thing that I can think of. And also doing that without having to worry about it as much, having conversations.
So let me put this out there. So would you agree with the fact that, say, maybe 10 years ago when you started, you would have spent a lot more time talking about innocuous things like reality TV and whatnot and less time about what's going on in your lives than you do now? Would you agree with that? Would that be true?
I would say so. Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, I think that's the case. I think for me, as the guy who, you know, been lucky enough to run some radio stations, the only way you create fans is if you are real and if you do talk about yourself. Now, it can't become so insular that it's all just about you guys. I think it has to be relatable. It has to be stuff. I remember when I was at Proud, when we launched Proud, it was Ken Caustic and Mary Jo Eustace. So they had that show, What's for Dinner? I don't know if you remember them. They were the cooking team. One of the first cooking shows out there before Food TV. And Ken, who has since passed away, and I would say this if he was still, he had a bit of an issue with being relatable, because he'd be like, "Well, I was on my yacht this weekend," and right. blah blah blah. It's like, right. Kenny, that's not relatable. You know, he's got his chihuahuas in like his Louis Vuitton bags and stuff. It's like, Kenny, can you bring it down to the people just a little bit?
Yeah, you're my butler when it came to the wrong meal. I was like, am I right?
How much do I tip the cleaning lady? You know, my Tuesday cleaning lady, not my Thursday cleaning lady, you know. Anyway, so you're at Ivanov Radio Group for how many years?
Ivanov Radio Group for 7 years.
You guys had some really good books while you were there. You guys in your key demos, you guys did really well. There were some really good times. Were you there? Was it during the switch from PPM to PPM, or was it always PPM?
I think it was always PPM. It was right around the time. Yeah.
Because they took a Z103. This is inside radio talk, and I think a lot of radio people listen to this. So, or if anybody listens, they know radio. Back in the day when it was diary, Z103 did much better in diary than it has with PPM for a number of reasons, not the least of which is the signal is not the greatest signal in the world.
Sure, yeah.
What were your biggest challenges working there? I know you always lived out in Waterloo, right? Were you always commuting?
Yeah, I was. And I lived at one point in Cambridge. I'm not there anymore, but I used to live at like Town Line 401 area, if anyone's familiar. So because the station was in Etobicoke, that was like the saving grace for me. Because if this was a downtown Toronto station, there's no way I would have still lived there.
Yeah.
But so for me, it was actually a 40-minute commute in, which I didn't mind.
Yep.
I'd have a coffee, I'd listen to the news, and that would be fine. I mean, what a gong show on the 401 on the way home.
Oh, yeah.
Like Mississauga area still is terrible. And then through that stretch. But I just ended up staying in Cambridge, which I kind of found cool too, just because so many people in Cambridge and Kitchener-Waterloo for that matter, when I was growing up, were listening to stations like that, because you couldn't really get anything else when I was growing up anyway.
Right.
We didn't have stations even here like The Beat is now.
Right.
We didn't have them. They didn't launch for many years after. So I know a lot of people who kind of grew up on that.
The time there, obviously, you're both commuting. I think Scott lives out, he's like up in Milton Way or something like that. I know he's out there. Was this one of these situations? You don't have to get into it if you don't want to, but was this a situation where you were forced to leave, or you guys chose to leave?
No, we chose to leave, and we're all cool. We're all, doesn't everybody say that? Like, we're good. But we are. I mean, it was a difficult decision to make, because, I mean, you mentioned it's a Ivanov Radio was a different place to work than I had been used to. And I did consider my PD as a friend.
Yeah.
And so having to have that conversation of, well, I was on mat leave. That's when it happened.
But I remember that. Yes.
Yeah. I was on mat leave with my second. And that's when I was approached by Lars.
Right.
This is fun. So Lars, kind of ran the show at Chorus, and at the time was like, let's talk, because I want to kind of revamp this morning show at 91.5 The Beat. And so I wasn't seeking it out, nor was Scott at all, but this kind of whole thing presented itself to us again while I was on mat leave. And I thought, okay, I'm supposed to be coming back to Z soon. But it was so strange, because kind of in the back of my mind, I wondered if I was going back.
Right.
I don't know what it was. And it wasn't like, I'm for sure not coming back. Something for me was like, you're not going to come back there. And so when I got that call from Lars, who was working at Chorus at the time, he and I had been talking about wanting to work together. So I thought, this is cool. So we started to have those chats. And obviously those conversations went well, to the point where we made the decision to leave. So that phone call was really tough to make. To Paul especially, and everybody there, like, you have to have that conversation. You know what a tight-knit group it is there too. That was a tough one, to be like, we're choosing to leave. But oddly enough, for those who aren't familiar, Lars, who is incredible at what he does, ended up over at Ivanov after.
Oh really? Oh, I don't know if I knew that.
Yeah, he's at Ivanov. So after he had kind of stolen us away, if you will, he ended up going mayor.
Oh, that's so funny. Like, I knew that.
Now I'm still not working with him.
That's so funny.
How funny is that? But that goes back to what we were talking about being a small world.
Yeah.
And obviously they're cool too. So
yeah,
everyone's cool.
Yeah. I mean, I had to make that. I was almost, like I said, I was almost 9 years and I ended up leaving. Actually, David Corey hired me to be music director at Virgin Radio while I was, but then I was part of one of those 300 people in one day things like 4 months in. Right. But, but I had to have that conversation with one of the, you know, closer, with Mr. Gamble and, at the company and Paul and have that. Paul was actually on vacation. I couldn't get a hold of him. I wanted to talk to Paul. He was away and Bill was, they were all away at the time. And I wanted to talk to Paul personally. And I literally couldn't get a hold of him. So I had to, and I was on a timeline. So yeah, it's interesting. You know, there's always, everybody's got some interesting stories about working there, to say the least.
Well, it is. I mean, and the truth is, it is different. And I think that, I mean, they're well aware of the fact that it is different when you're coming from a different place. Like I came from a Bell Media station going into
very different
going into Evanov, and now Evanov into Chorus. Well, how I always like to explain it is the thing that I really liked about Evanov is, hey, I have an idea. Knock on the door. Can I do this?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
And
that was it. Yeah.
The meeting. Whereas, you know, you have to go, understandably, with these bigger companies, you go through a lot of layers and figure out what works.
The thing with Evanov, my two things when I was running Proud, one was, here's the two things that I had to do. Don't sound like Z103 and don't cost us any money. And that was it. I was allowed to do anything I wanted as long as it was free and I didn't sound like Z. That was, you know, but I got to learn so much and I wouldn't be where I am in my career if it wasn't for them and for all that experience.
Yeah.
So now in your hometown doing morning radio and now you get this podcast as well, which is really kind of trumpeted throughout the company as one of the best podcasts. What do you think makes your, tell me about your podcast. What makes it different from everybody else, all these other lazy radio shows? They just go and put all their highlights together and then put them out as a podcast. What do you and Scott do? What's different about that?
Well, that's sweet of you to say, by the way. But yeah, so ours started, I love using the word organically.
I know, it's a big thing, I see.
It is organic. But it really was, and that's how it started. It started at Z, our podcast. But although it wasn't like formally titled anything until later, what we started to do was, instead of doing those best ofs, which you mentioned, which happen a lot, of course, best of the show, no commercial, commercial free, check out the podcast after the show. We started doing that. But then because we worked at Z103.5, we knew that it was okay for us to do it without even asking for permission.
Yeah.
So what we would do is take one bit, or maybe two tops that we had done during the day and decided to give them the, you know, 18 plus treatment, essentially.
Just talk like you normally do, for real.
Exactly. And kind of show listeners.
Not radio.
Exactly. And show listeners a different side. So we would have a story on the radio of, you know, this Reddit user caught her boyfriend cheating because she checked his Facebook. That was the story. And bad, good, whatever, we talk. And then we take that into the podcast, and it just got outrageous. And we had a producer at the time named Angelo, who would join us every now and again on the podcast too, just to kind of give it a little bit something different. So it was like our show, but it was different. It was uncensored, and they used to be 10 minutes long, like just kind of like short little snippets, one story. That's all you get, or maybe it was about our personal life. So that's kind of how it started, just as a little extra for listeners. But we noticed that a lot of people were downloading it.
Yeah,
and so we ended up calling it something formal after 9, because it was after 9 a.m. that we started this. We decided to keep the name, even though we're on till 9:30 now.
That's,
so I was like,
well,
we're still after 9.
That's all right.
Fine. And one thing I love about Chorus 2 is when it comes to podcasting, what I noticed about other, maybe not now, but at the time, other companies in radio being very scared of podcasting. You know, that's what I found
interesting
to hear from people in radio. But Chorus was not like that.
No.
Chorus was, I mean, we have a whole, as you know, we have like a whole division that is dedicated to a podcasting.
Yes.
So that was one of the selling features to me going to Chorus, knowing that we could also have this and do it right and do it on a platform that's going to help us engage the current listeners we have and gain more listeners. So I was so impressed by that when it comes to Chorus, especially, is that they not only were okay with it, they were like, yes.
They encouraged it. We want more. Yeah, yeah.
How can we help you with it? And that's great. Was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
I think I just realized, are you one of these radio people that actually, and I don't want this to happen to you. You've never been fired?
I've never been fired.
Good for you.
I've never been fired from any job, even though I should have before.
Which job should you have been fired from?
Library. Oh. Can you imagine me? I know.
Oh, you have to be quiet. Yeah, right. You should have been fired for sure.
I didn't shut up. And then my dad worked in like the financing department at the library, so I was young, but he was like, yeah, it's a good little part-time job. I was like, I hate it here. I can't talk.
I'm not allowed to say anything. That's amazing. Kat, I think, you know what, that's a well-deserved honor, because almost everybody I know has been unceremoniously let go on at least one. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, for sure. And we're such masochists. We wear it as a badge of honor, right? Like, we're just like, we love exchanging those stories. In fact, on this podcast about change, that's one of the things I normally focus on. Like, tell me how you dealt with it. I don't have that story with you. I don't want to take up too much of your time. When you got the TikTok gig, did you know it was going to be big?
I mean, to this extent, maybe not. I knew it was big, and I was like, pretty, you know, I was excited about it.
Sure.
I thought, okay, this is cool. It was different than anything I'd ever done. I had started my voiceover company.
Right.
5 years at company. I say company, it's just me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I started doing.
You incorporated.
It is. Yes. Like, everything's legal. Yeah. Canada, in case you want to butt your nose in there too. So when I started it like 5 years ago, just kind of doing it for people I knew and help, you know, like networking, just small things. And then it kind of just escalated quickly. The voiceover industry, especially over COVID, I found is just
very, very.
I know you do some stuff, don't you?
I'm actually just getting an agent right now. I'm working on getting an agent right now. I'm working with an acting coach. I'm trying to get in to do some animation stuff as well.
Oh my God. Okay, animation's on my list. We should do a show together. We just need to find someone who can animate something.
Perfect. Done. Yeah, exactly.
And we can both be on it.
Exactly. I love it.
Yeah, I've always thought that would be cool too. So when I started to get jobs that I was very, like, I mean, I was like, wow, I can't believe, like, I'm at this stage where I'm doing this and that. That was one of the, I mean, obviously, that was the biggest job I've had to date.
Yeah.
How do you top that? I don't know. Like, how can I ever go back and be like, no, that wasn't big. You know what was? Like,
no, it's pretty amazing. World. I'm honestly, I couldn't be more happy for you. It couldn't happen to a nicer person. Give me some of the name of some of the bigger places you've been on, like Good Morning America now.
As a radio nerd, anyone who's listening, you can all appreciate that Ryan Seacrest reached out to me, right?
That's pretty amazing.
I geeked out more than any other time.
That's so great.
Yeah, his producer was like, Ryan would like to speak with you. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Of course. Done.
So that for me was a moment. Good Morning America, Inside Edition actually just put theirs out.
I just saw that.
Yeah, in Canada, it's been global. Chorus, I got you. I did that. But also CTV. I'm going to be on CTV Morning Live coming up. I just chatted with Tyrone at eTalk. And I'm not sure when that's out. I should know. But he's such a cool guy, too. I mean, the thing about this industry is it is so small. So a lot of them are either people I've crossed paths with, or done something with, spoke with in the past. So it's kind of cool to be like, hey, bud. The Canadian ones, anyway.
Yeah.
The other ones have no idea. They're like, where do you live? Like, they don't. A lot of the American are like, so you
just say Toronto.
Toronto.
Exactly. Yeah, just say Toronto. Toronto. Yes, Toronto.
Yes, I'm in Toronto. Yeah, no, but I'm in Toronto.
Callahan, I am such a fan of yours. And I'm kidding. 91.5 The Beat. And your
from
voice.
Toronto.
From Toronto and TikTok and whatnot. And congratulations on everything. And thank you for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. It's a pleasure. I'm glad to finally be on, and maybe we can do this again sometime in the future.
Anytime. You're welcome. Anytime.
We got to start making changes.
This has been Bob's Basement. Thanks for listening.
Things change. That's the way it is.
For more information, email Bob at bobwillette@gmail.com. That's Bob Willette, like Gillette, with a W. Follow Bob on Twitter at Bob Willette. Bob's Basement is available where you find your favorite podcasts. Until next time.
Well, that's the way it is.